This morning we started the first session of the of phase two of the revitalization forum, and in this phase two the agenda was very clear. It started with opening remarks from members of the region and the international community, and because we started late we had a break, and after the break we were supposed to continue with the statements by the parties now to the revitalization, that is the government and the other strain groups. But before we could enter there, of course, we came yesterday, we were not given the text. So when we came here when we went back in the afternoon at 2, we were prevented from entering, because we were not given the badges, and that created some sort of delay. We went on to discuss with the organizers until at the end they accepted us in. We told them that this is an opening session, and in an opening session everybody is supposed to attend and be in. It is when you are actually starting the real negotiations that now the meeting will be closed. So at the end, they accepted that we go in and we continued. So so many people talked, and political parties and the rest all talked, including the government of South Sudan. And there were about 27 or 28 speakers this evening. After that, we sat with the administration of the forum to discuss the issue of our representation in the next sitting. And after discussion, it was mentioning that we actually came in our full force. We came with about 50 members. These 50 members, among them are the lead negotiators. We have the technical, the secretariat, plus the media. We also have the technocrats in terms of technical people in the various fields of the agreement. And then we have the consultants. All these people, we brought them because we came from there fully authorized to come and negotiate and go back with peace. So instead of us suspending any meetings because X is in Cuba or Y is not yet in, we decided to bring them all. And as such, the IGAD were saying, no, the number is too big, we cannot accommodate them. We said we are not asking for accommodation. Only the group that you will accommodate, you accommodate them. But the rest will be accommodated. It's the responsibility of the government, because it is a normal thing, actually, all over. Whenever a government goes, it doesn't go with that same number like what is written to them, but you go with extra numbers so that you make use of these technical. So at the end, we agreed that, yes, they give us 35 tax for entry. And that these tax, in case we want to change anybody at any time, then that person takes the card and he continues to attend. Because we are now starting, we'll start tomorrow, we'll continue tomorrow with chapter one of the agreement, and chapter two. We are supposed to cover this chapter 1 and chapter 2 within this period. And up to the 17th, actually. And if we can finish these chapters before that, then we may go into others if necessity requires. But the agenda is very clear. The agenda talks about the permanent ceasefire, that is one. Full implementation of the agreement, that is the revitalized agreement. And then agenda number three is the reasonable time frame for the elections. Mm. These are the three topics. Of course, they will be divided into subtitles. But that is what we came here for. We are optimistic that if we start tomorrow, we'll be in a position to make progress. And we are supposed to discuss chapter one from now up to the seventh day, of the meeting, and from the eighth day up to the 17th, up to up to the ninth day. This is the time that we'll spend in the security arrangements. But nevertheless, we have not yet agreed. We may decide to address all these issues concurrently. But if you agree to approach it, take them consecutively, then we will start with the governance. After governance, we'll move to security arrangements. But if we decide to address them concurrently, then we will set up two subcommittees that will be working at the same time. So this is the situation in which we are. We are starting tomorrow at 9.
So what do you think is more easier to tackle that you can finish quickly?
Well, there is nothing which is easier. What may be easier is the time frame. Well, because for the time frame, it's a question of saying, because it is after agreeing and after assessing all these, then we will be in a position to say now, if we are to implement the agreement, these articles or these chapters, how long will it take us to implement? Based on that, now we will be in a position to assess the time frame for elections. I think that is the easiest among all.
But for us here in the media, we are seeing a lot of groups that have been joined in the forum. Doesn't it make it like complicated?
Well, of course, in the presentation, in the statements which were made, some of them were, I think some of them did not even understand the objective of the revitalization. So others went as far as demanding the removal of the president, the dissolution of the government. That's like that position of Riek Machar, which is actually completely irrelevant to the objective of the revitalization. So there are these extreme opinions which were misplaced. But nevertheless, that is their position, of course. When time comes, we will make our position very clear on whatever topic that comes up. However, our chief negotiator made it very clear that there are two things that are untouchable. Issues of governance, we are not here to come and tamper with provisions that are not affected by the resolution of the IGAD Council of Ministers. Number two, this idea of two armies in one country is out of question. We will not talk about it even, because we have already learned from that experience of J1. And even I think nobody is in favor of that again. I'll send them a clear message that those of you who believe that they will be intransigent because the government is collapsing soon, these people are misinformed. The government is not collapsing. He also talked about the American arms embargo, and he said that is in fact a negative approach to our problems, and that is not a solution, but it is actually a complicating factor, because there is no way you would apply arms embargo believing that this is the only way. Instead, you actually want to weaken the government, and you are encouraging the rebels to be intransigent in the talks. So that will have a negative impact on the peace talks.
You talk about the permanent ceasefire.
He talked, of course, about the permanent ceasefire. We are ready for it, he also talked about. About the threats. Of course, most of the speakers in the morning were actually threatening us that if you this then we will that will be in case you fail, this is the last opportunity. If you fail, this will result into very serious consequences and so forth. So his response was very clear. He said, by the way, you need to understand the cultures of others. we as Africans and as South Sudanese in particular, when you threaten a person, this policy of carrot and stick does not work with us. You only come with the carrot. It is when you give a person a carrot that he will understand you. But if you say, if you don't do this, I will do this, he will be completely intransigent and will say, okay, I don't want it. So he was very clear. He said that approach must be abandoned. It is not this question of threats. It's not a solution to our problems. Any friend who wants to support us, please come and talk to us. Don't give us threats. Because once you threaten a person with us, he will not know that person will not listen to you, even if you were trying to do the right thing for him. He will not like it that way. So this is what he talked about. And this evening they gave us what they called principle, guiding principles for consideration. So here they are. We'll read them tonight. Then we'll see what are they. But from the reading, it is clear that these are just quotations we were taken from the agreement. So from the agreement.
Okay.
No, my question is about, you're talking about the ceasefire. And then less than 2 months, the government and all the parties, they signed the cessation of hostilities. And how is this ceasefire going to work on the ground there?
Well, of course, you see, people are behaving as if they are not part of this world. There is no permanent ceasefire, even much cessation of hostilities, even if you sign the permanent ceasefire. It must be violated in a way or the other. But it is the way you address it that matters. Even when we signed the CPA, there were violations. But the way we handled them brought about the good results. So it is the way these violations are handled which is a problem. For these violations which are being orchestrated, not being magnified everywhere. In fact, these violations have not been investigated up to now. And CITESAM decided to report this to IGAD. And the Troika pick it up and the rest of the people decided to pick it, blaming the parties for violation. Meanwhile, CITESAM is supposed to go down, investigate. After investigation, they will hold a meeting of the board, and the meeting of the board will be the one now to pass that report. And thereafter, it becomes a public document for distribution. Unfortunately, the international community and the region have decided to take hasty decision at a time when they have not yet come up with the conclusions as to who is actually in violation. We have been saying this idea of saying the parties are in violation is not correct and is not acceptable. It is high time to call a spade a spade. If it is the government which has violated, tell us that the government has done this violation in this place. If it is any of the armed groups, tell us that it is this armed group which has violated, but we don't just continue singing that old song of the parties are in violation of the agreement. That is not correct.
As a government town with 50 people for the jobs, is not the waste of the resources of the country?
Waste of resources of the country? Which is better now? Is it better not to waste resources in peace so that you save the rest? Or should we continue fighting and we go on keeping buying arms? Even if we were able to bring 100, we would bring them so that we go back with peace. Because if we bring peace to South Sudan, we would save all these amounts which we are spending in the war.
And I want you to respond to the charge affairs of U.S. Embassy to South Sudan.
What did
Michael
he say?
Morrow.
What did he say?
He talked about the first they start with the arms embargo, and then they're going to start with some individuals. And then he talked about some of the generals and one of the ministers, is you. They're going to.
I'm already sanctioned. Where do they want to take me again? Unless they take it to the UN Security Council, and even if the Security Council approves my sanction and so on, will they come and collect me inside South Sudan? In fact, what my response to the American decision is that this is a very unfortunate decision taken by the American government. It was a hasty decision. I say it is hasty because they thought that by so doing, then they will force us into accepting the agreement. Because there had been a lot of wild rumors outside in the air that the government of South Sudan is not ready for any concessions. And these are the stories of the FDs. They made them to believe that, yes, this is their making. And as such, they decided to take that hasty decision. I say it is unfortunate because that is not a solution to the problems of South Sudan. Instead, it has two impacts, which were actually addressed by Comrade Nial. One, it will definitely, they mean to say that we are still pursuing our policy of regime change. And in the course of doing that, they attempted so many ways for a regime change, but they all failed. Now, after having failed, they came up with the idea of revitalization, believing that we will reject it. We accepted it, and we decided to mold it into our own. That was also to their disappointment. And with us now coming for the talks, they believe that if we come to the talks, the revitalization will be successful, and as such, there will be no more room for a regime change. They decided to come up with this position for two purposes. One, to weaken the government so that it is overrun by the rebels. In so doing, of course, they are saying we are imposing arms embargo on all the parties. Where is it in the world where you impose arms embargo on rebels? Do you know their sources of armament? Okay. Even Gebel in the...